This is the story of a thief.
You wanted to steal. Now's your time.
He stole from the rich and gave to the poor.
What else you got?
I call him Robin Hood.
It's got a nice ring to it, don't you think?
One thing keeps the sheriff in power. The money.
I want to hit the treasury itself.
How would you do it?
Set up a meeting. Everyone is with us.
Rob!
How did you know it was me?
You call that a disguise?
Well, it fooled everybody else!
This is
suicide.
The danger's what makes it fun.
Hi, Tim. How are you going?
Good, Darren. How are you?
Fantastic. Well, thanks very much for taking the time to talk to us this morning. How have you been?
Pleasure. Yeah, good. Good. Yeah, really good. Just writing and, you know, doing a little bit of press and doing a lot of exercise to try and get in condition for this new TV show I'm making. And, yeah, I'm fine.
That's great to hear. Well, we'll just jump straight into the movie. I watched it yesterday and I really enjoyed it.
Oh, great.
It was a lot of fun to watch, and it's action within the first 5 minutes till the closing frame.
Yeah.
So how did this role come your way? What appealed to you about it?
Well, I don't know. I guess I'm not in a place in my career yet where I sort of get offers for roles in massive Hollywood blockbusters very often. In fact, it was my first, and I didn't really hesitate because it's just an experience that someone like me would never expect to have. It was a pretty sort of Hollywood story, actually, because we were living there and I was, you know, directing this animated film, and actually this movie came because the producer of the movie, who works with Leo DiCaprio, whose name's Jen Davison, was a person I got to know, was a parent at my kid's school. And so I think connection came from there. And then without me knowing, one day she rang up Otto Bathurst, the director, and said to him, you know how we've been looking for a tuck and we don't want him to be the cliche, we want him to be different, but we don't really know what we're looking for. Have you ever heard of this Tim Minchin guy? And of course, Otto, being British, had heard of me and kind of leapt on it. And kind of rang up and said, well, if you would consider doing this role, we would be, you know. And I went, well, yeah, of course, but you have to audition me because you haven't seen a lot of me on camera. And he's like, oh, well, if you would do an audition. And I'm like, yeah, totally. So I went and did a taping and, they locked me in, which was wicked. And then I spent, you know, a few months flying from LA to Budapest and back to New York to try and get my musical up, and it was the most insane 3 months of my life, but it was totally fun.
Yeah, I bet it was insane. So what was it like when you donned the costume for the first time, rosary, beads and all?
Yeah, well, the design of the film, I think, is one of the really, I mean, it is a blockbuster. It's absolutely a fun, you know, Thanksgiving release in America, and it's great for teenagers and fun for adults and beautiful action. But actually, for me, what is special about Otto is that he always surrounds himself with and seeks out really interesting design. If you look at Peaky Blinders, where he kind of really made his name, the kind of pseudo-historical but completely removed from reality aesthetic is like the main, it's a huge thing in it, and I love that about Robin Hood. So when I put the costume on and met the designers, I was stoked because I was assuming and hoping that it would have its own totally unique aesthetic. And, you know, I looked pretty goofy in it, but that's good because this little acting career I've been trying to build up in the last few years, my absolute mission is to be a character actor, you know, and not just do comedy roles and not. And even though I've got this sort of long hair and stuff, which I'm sticking with at the moment, not letting it be the same character, so not always being a rock star or not always being a whatever. And if I look at what I've managed to do so far with Californication and this and Secret River on the ABC and Friar Tuck, even though they're all quite hairy, they're very, very different characters. Yeah. So I was it's so great to step into a costume and go, oh, right, I'm in a totally different world now and I'm a totally different person.
Oh, yeah, the costumes were great. I when Mendo walked out in his like grey leather coat the first time we saw him.
They're dressing him. Yeah.
I was like, that's an incredible coat. I hope he kept it.
yeah, totally. I wonder if he did actually.
Yeah, so it looked like it was a really fun character to play. And in all honesty, like, I didn't know how much of the film you were going to be in.
Yeah.
And then I thought, oh, well, he might be in it for 5 minutes.
Well, especially because on the trailer, I'm very scarce because they're obviously not selling the movie on my name because in America my face doesn't sell tickets. But I was kind of happy with that because when you do watch the movie, I'm a bit of a... You know, I'm a reasonably influential, instrumental character.
You are.
And of course, my voice starts the movie with that long storytelling thing and ends the movie as well. So he's sort of the storyteller. And that's a really nice role. He's kind of the grown-up in a way, like the gentle uncle of the whole thing. He's sort of this quite avuncular presence. I think it's really nice. But he's kind of funny as well.
Yeah, for sure. And obviously you worked mostly on screen with Taron Egerton and Ben Mendelsohn. What was it like working with those three?
Well, it's amazing working with Mendo. I mean, Mendo I've known a bit through friends, but not very well. But to be, having grown up in Australia, in, you know, being a teenager in the 80s and 90s, you know, we've known Mendo all his time. He's new to Americans, but to us he's just part of the DNA of our industry. And so watching him on set and his sort of utter, he's kind of got so much energy and he's quite eccentric, you know, and very, very, I'm very fond of him. But just watching him turn takes over and sometimes takes that, we'd do 30 takes of something, especially when he was doing his big monologues, and it's brilliant to be on set with him. Taron is just such a gorgeous boy, and he's really hardworking and really focused, and he's writer trained, you know. So, without a doubt, though, this movie's a sort of summer blockbuster or Thanksgiving blockbuster for them. He takes his craft very seriously, you know. That's the thing with these actors. They, you know, people aren't, if you look at Taron and with Eddie the Eagle and stuff, I mean, he's a character actor too. Yeah. He's very beautiful, but he pushes himself outwards all the time. And Eve is just gorgeous and fantastic and funny, and she's got an amazing craft as well. And she's acting in her own accent for the first time, which is interesting for her. Both her and Jamie Dornan, you know, especially, she's been working in American accents for years, and so it was interesting for her to go back to her natural Irish. But it was interesting for me because I still am less experienced on camera than all those people. Someone like Ben, I'm infinitely less experienced, but I've done less screen work than any of those people. So even though I'm kind of a bit older, and to the Brits, I'm a sort of known, you know, I'm a name they know, and Taron tells me how he, you know, snuck into a tent at Reading Festival when he was 16 to watch me play, you know. So for him, I'm this guy that's been around forever. But for me, I'm like, I'm learning from you guys, you know. I'm watching and learning because I'm trying to catch up with this different form. So it was cool. I love it.
I love a bit of Mendo. There's one scene in particular in the film, I won't go into exactly what it is, but he goes full Mendo.
Yeah.
What was it like shooting that scene? Because we've seen him go full Mendo in like Rogue One and a couple of other films as well. But what's it like being next to him in a scene when he's going like full on?
It's actually quite genuinely scary, even though I know him, because he's, mostly with great actors, their performances come from a place, you know. And Mendo's such a gorgeous guy, but when he goes full Mendo, you sort of think, where the hell's this coming from? And he drops out of it, straight out of the take. He's not a method actor. It's not like he's sitting in that space.
Oh, well, thank God.
Shall I just hop up? Yeah, well, some people, when they do when they have to do that sort of thing, they find it very hard to get out and in yeah. between takes. I find it a bit hard to do that. You know, if you're doing something very emotional, to just stop and then start again. Mendo's been doing it for so long.
Yeah.
But it is like a switch, and he's got those eyes. But I absolutely love that stuff. Like, I really like being in the presence of someone who's not pissing around. And the thing with film acting these days is so many film actors have come through telly, and they pitch their performance very low all the time because it looks good on camera. But when you're acting against them, they're not giving you anything to react against. It's all very sotto voce kind of thing, all quite low. But with Mendo, you have no problem reacting because it's fucking there in your face. It's much more like doing a play, which is the world I come from.
Yeah, no, it's I really enjoyed his performance in it, and just the action alone in the film was top notch, and some of the slow mo sequences that they throw in there as well. I was like, hey, this is a pretty cool stylistic approach to it.
Yeah, the early scenes in Syria, the battle scenes before he comes back to Nottingham, I think are extraordinary to be doing sort of Hurt Locker level action, but with bows and arrows.
Well, that's it. Like, they obviously, Jamie and Taryn would have had to have gone through some pretty intense training.
Yeah.
Did they get you to do anything, or just bring your charm and?
Well, actually, in the original script, there was more Tuck getting active, and I did quite a bit of horse riding, which I didn't end up using either, because you know they have to put you into all these things to get insurance for you, even if there's a 10% chance that you're going to ride a horse. But I love that shit. Like, give me a skill to try and acquire in a short space of time. I'm like, yay, I get paid to try to get better at riding horses, you know?
Yeah.
So I did a bit of horse riding, and I got pretty fit for it just in case. But look, if everyone goes and sees it, we'll do a sequel, and then we'll do a whole lot of Friar Tuck getting good at weapons, and it will be fucking awesome. So that's what we need.
Yeah, for sure. And obviously, yeah, I hope there's a sequel. Like, I'm totally down for that. I liked how the film ended. So it was a really nice way to do it.
You got
to shoot the film in, like, as you said, Budapest, Dubrovnik and even Paris. Like, what was it like shooting at these locations?
Beautiful. I'd never been to Dubrovnik. I didn't really understand how, you know, you'd see it on Game of Thrones and shit, and you've seen it on the Qantas mag, but my God, it's breathtaking. And I was constantly sort of jet lagged and stressed about the other stuff that was going on in my life, but it's quite amazing to just drop into these places. And you know, I don't know if I ever would have gone to Budapest. And at one point, when things were crazy, and I was so jet lagged, I rang up Sarah and said, look, I've got a 10-day break in filming, but I'm not coming back to LA because I just can't do the flight, the 23 hours and whatever it was. I'm just too tired. Well, it might have been a week. And so I just hired a car and drove to Prague and then to Berlin. And, you know, so I actually, and I don't really take holidays. So it was quite an amazing thing to do, to be in that world and all that history. But, and then Paris. I adore Paris.
This was around the same time Larrikins fell over, yeah?
Yeah, well, that fell over while I was in a hotel in Dubrovnik. I got that phone call. Yeah, that's pretty bad.
Yeah, that's bullshit. Yeah. I've heard a few horror stories from people that have worked for studios, and that sort of stuff's happened. So my heart goes out to you with that.
Oh, thanks, Sharon. Yeah, it was pretty horrendous at the time, but all good.
You've got. Yeah. It looks like you've got a rather busy March and April next year. With all these tour dates that you've got, and then they're all getting sold out and more dates are getting added. Have you started any preparation for that yet?
Oh, no. Look, I've got it in my head what I'm going to do, you know. I've been doing concerts, even though I haven't done a proper tour for years. I do concerts in various places, and so I've been, even kind of what I did at Dark Mofo a couple of months ago or up in the Gold Coast before that, I'm sort of developing a thing, and there'll be some new stuff and... But I'm starting shooting my TV show in 2 weeks, which is going to take me all the way to Christmas, and that's Upright, and that's a show I'm kind of in every scene. It's a road movie, and me and this teenager are going to be shooting 6 days a week for freaking 10 weeks, so I'm not going to have any. I don't have any time to think about it till Christmas, but that's good. And then I'll spend the first couple of months of next year working it up. And then, yeah, I can't wait, actually. I know when I get on the road, I'll go, oh, fuck, I forgot how hard this is. Not hard, but I forgot how sort of relentless touring is. Yeah. But it's been so long, I'm absolutely gagging to be performing again.
Good luck with the shoot on that. I look forward to seeing it. And then lastly, I'm in Perth.
Yeah.
And obviously, there's a lot of young creatives here in Perth. And do you have any advice for young creatives in Perth trying to just get their start?
I'm pretty bad at this question, except, I don't know, you know, that speech I did at UWA sort of says everything in that I think the trick is, I think it's important to not spend your life thinking, I'm going to be a star on Broadway or I'm going to be a star in Hollywood, and until I get to that I'm just on a path. I think you have to think more, if you're thinking about Hollywood, you're not going to do a great job writing something for Black Swan. You know, you can't be thinking about where it's going to get you. You have to be making your art for its own sake.
Yeah.
And I never expected to be where I am, and I think if I had ended up in Melbourne, writing for Malthouse, and I would have been equally happy as I am now, because I love making stuff. And so I think concentrating on if I was in Perth now and in my early 20s, I'd be trying to make the best fucking thing for the Blue Room that I can, I would be relentlessly working on my next Blue Room project. I wouldn't be, but there's absolutely, eventually you might have to leave for a bit, but making art for the world you're in instead of just trying to print business cards for your own future would be my advice.
Fantastic, Tim. Well, thanks very much for talking to us. Good luck with your shoot, your tour, and let's hope Robin Hood goes gangbusters so we can see a sequel.
Yeah, it'd be pretty cool if it did. Thank you, Darren.
Thanks, mate. Bye-bye.
Can't you see? You inspire the people.
This is our crusade!
There are too many of them.
What, for you and me?
There's not enough.
£1,000 for the man who brings me on!
This is not going to end well.